sustaining alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Yes. Rita Steele.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good.
Yep.
Yep.
Just sustaining, maintaining, you know how it is.
Sipping some water.
Changing the world, making a difference.
One phone call at a time.
Okay. I've got some standard M&Ms in my bag that I've been thinking about cracking open, but haven't managed to do that just yet.
Have you checked the back of them for palm oil?
Let me have a look.
Rita, quick question.
Yeah.
You know, like if you've got some sort of superpower and you can take over someone else's body, what's that called?
When you've what? Got a superpower and you can take over someone else's body?
Yep.
I don't know.
I thought you were a scientist.
God? No, I don't know.
Okay.
You are a scientist,
is this,
though,
is this your preferred superpower?
How much palm oil do you want to have be in this in these things, ingredients?
Zero, but it won't say palm oil, it'll say vegetable oil or vegetable fat.
Vegetable gum, I can do you vegetable gum 414. No good?
I don't know.
It might have peanuts and tree nuts and barley in it as well, which is really starting to grind my gears.
Because you thought they were like
it's got, it's got vegetable fat and vegetable gum. We are talking about M&M's. It's so hard to consume the right thing. I think that's the point of the story.
It actually is.
Why don't we just say what's agreed by the government that is bad and what's good, and then put that in like two columns on the product for people to see and actually like educate the people as what they were even looking for, you know?
All these like numbers and shit. A little like logo for like green, I don't know how we do it, but you know how you do for like the healthy heart tick, you know?
The efficiency on your washing machine with the star system.
That sort of like ecological footprint. I mean, it's such a shame though, because so many companies just do whatever they can to avoid telling you the truth. So I was reading something about New Zealand pork, international imported pork, and of course they've got some diabolical standards. I mean, ours aren't even great, to be perfectly honest, but they've got some pretty shocking standards overseas, and they were trying to get around it by saying, I think it was sort of like, if it was like packaged here or something like that, they could then say New Zealand pork or New Zealand made or something. So there's all these like loopholes people use, and it's so disappointing.
What is not disappointing is somebody's texted in and let us know it is possession. I thought it was like it's a witchcraft kind of activity. We're not saying that you're a witch reader, but we are saying that it's called possession when the Prime Minister takes over a newsreader's body. So.
Is that what happened? Can Jacinda please take over Mike Hosking's body? It'll be
We were saying it might there be quite rad if she could just control whoever she wants, whenever she wants, just kind of like, just it's me, Jacinda here.
Taking over Mike Hosking's body would be very interesting.
That would be a Freaky Friday movie I'd probably watch, actually.
I feel like her life would be so much more interesting, like so much easier.
Comedy would ensue. We'd have to touch base with Jacinda being controlled by Mike Hosking as well, though, just for the comedy.
Does it also mean that Mike Hosking takes over Jacinda's body?
That's what I just said.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's like a swap. It's like a Freaky Friday swap. No, that's not good.
Do we have an actual agenda to talk about for sustaining a live reading?
Yeah, we do.
These are our pressing issues, and it's worth talking about. But
yeah, I know, and kind of interesting. So, but anyway, I am going to talk today about something that you would think that we have a lot of data on, but we don't. And I just wanted to give a shout out to a New Zealand PhD. Graduate, is that what you say about PhD? She's no longer a student because she's finished.
I think it's possession.
A doctor?
Possessed.
She's a doctor. She's now a doctor. So Dr. Victoria Warren, who's just done a published study with NIWA for the Royal Society about the soundscape monitoring in the ocean. So what's kind of interesting about this is for a long time I've been very intrigued about the seismic testing that we do here for looking for, you know, in the oil exploration process. And thankfully the government has, this government has put their money where their mouth is to some extent and stopped the oil exploration, like the new permit.
Yeah, it's like 50 years to go or something.
It's still a long way away.
It's so stupid. But not quite cool enough.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's like, okay, so in 100, well, it's not quite this extreme, but it feels like it's a little bit, but in 100 years, we're going to stop using plastic. Okay, guys, cool. But anyway.
Takes a long time to stop the boat. Don't know if you've seen Speed 2, but...
So also, like, so many other governments can come in. But I also do understand it because there is jobs and there's whole
industry
built around this. And yeah. They're already hating on her, so it's sort of like, man, if it was any faster, I guess it would be a lot worse. But anyway, one of the things I have always been quite intrigued about is I had a friend working in Europe, and he was working quite a bit around the marine pollution. So this is underwater noise for cetaceans. So cetaceans are whales and dolphins and a few other marine mammals. But for the purpose of what we seem to talk about on a day-to-day basis, it's whales and dolphins. And they have a few laws over there around what can and can't be done in a lot of their areas. They're relatively new laws, and they have to monitor, you know, like constantly be monitoring for that noise. And I always thought it was quite interesting in New Zealand that we are actually in a really unique position with our cetaceans. So we have half of the world's species in our waters.
Wow.
And we also have, yeah, I know, cool, eh?
That is rad.
So rad.
We'd have to fight for these waters at all, eh? People just agree that there are waters and there's not going to be a problem there.
So far we haven't, and we've talked about this before, about how we got like the world's largest EETZ or whatever when it comes to the ocean, and I'm not entirely, and you asked me to look into it, and I'm sorry I didn't, why we got given this
area. I don't remember that at all, so don't worry.
Oh, yeah, it was, at the time I was like, yeah, why did we get given it, and then I hung up and completely forgot, so I don't know, maybe there's someone out there that knows, that can text in and know why we got such a large area, but anyway, I don't know, maybe one day someone will fight us for it. We might need to train up those dolphins to help us with this fight. But anyway, so we do have half of them in our waters. We also have the largest and the smallest in our waters, which is kind of cool.
Did you just propose to train dolphins to protect our waters?
Yes, apparently the Russians have. I don't know how true it is.
That's fucking mint. Yes.
And the other thing I found out while researching this, and it's got nothing to do with this, really, I don't think, but dolphins never sleep. I just thought it was crazy.
They've got moustaches. And they can commit suicide. Pretty powerful. And, yeah, I think they have roots on for fun as well.
Okay, my mind has been blown tonight. That's insane.
Yeah.
So, anyway, these are, I already knew they were super cool, but now they're like super
cool. Oh, they're rad as, man. Totally.
Yeah, totally. And we can definitely train them up to help protect their waters if this is the case.
Well, I'm thinking
and it's sweet,
Jacinda,
so they're like the ultimate soldier.
Jacinda
anyway.
Will obviously use her possessing powers to possess a dolphin, and then she'll lead a pack of dolphins to go and protect New Zealand. Clearly, that's what's going to happen.
So. Fantastic. So anyway, we've known for some time that there has been marine pollution from overseas studies. So there was a big study in the Science Journal called Soundscapes of the Anthropocene Ocean Period, I think that was the name of it. Anyway, what they did was they combed through 10,000 research papers to demonstrate the impact on not just that there was noise pollution, but the impact of that pollution, and in particular things like, you know, changes to their behaviour, their physiology, their reproduction, and even their lifespan in some extreme cases. So we knew that this was out there. Like I say, they used a lot of this research to base the beginnings of regulation around noise pollution. But in New Zealand, it feels all the time like we're just this naive country that's 30, 40, 50 years behind when it comes to regulation. And the rest of the world see this trend and come here and do things that they just wouldn't be able to do anywhere else.
Just wondering,
it's kind of crazy.
That, yeah.
And I feel like marine noise pollution is kind of in this space because we've just had no rules yet. Some of the highest diversity of cetaceans in the world. So, you know, it's really bizarre. And big shout out to Dr. Victoria Warren. I did ask if she can come onto the show and she couldn't, which is a bit of a shame because it would have been nice to hear from her about the study. But basically, she looked at the very first step of this stuff is to kind of prove it for New Zealand. So she did some soundscape monitoring alongside NIWA to figure out whether it was particularly useful. And what they found was that that the shipping seismic surveys and earthquakes, the frequencies of those actually all overlapped with our local whale
dialect. I was wondering,
dialect.
It would be very deep, wouldn't it? How do they actually record it, or is it like obviously special microphones and whatnot?
Yeah, they've got some pretty impressive recording equipment to record it all. So they did that from Taranaki down to Kaikoura, which I guess is, especially the Taranaki area, and I think off the coast of Kaikoura, I guess you've got that earthquake area there too, but they were looking at doing some exploration, oil exploration down there. So I don't know why they chose those areas, but it's probably quite good because it did cover that seismic activity, you know, that seismic sort of sonar testing they were doing.
Some people are saying that it was actually like killing, it was like, some people suspect that it was actually killing some animals, eh? Or like really harming them.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what the study that they, that Dr. Victoria Warren did kind of was like, we're not sure what the impact is, but the frequencies overlap. So there's definitely like, you know, like it doesn't, it must impact them, but we don't really know how yet. So the next stage of her studies would be to figure out like how it's impacting them. But I guess we don't even really need that because we can look at overseas data. Like she's done the work to say, yes, these frequencies overlap with their frequencies. Mm. And there's already data overseas that says if the frequencies are overlapping, then we're seeing changes to, you know, they'll avoid these noisy spaces, even if it's their traditional breeding ground or even if it's their traditional, like, feeding ground. So from what I've seen, it's not necessarily having a big impact directly on their numbers. So it's not like they're hearing a noise and, like, you know, beaching themselves or whatever. But they probably are avoiding the traditional areas that they would go to, which is then in turn stressing them. So they're having to find new areas. They perhaps aren't great areas for feeding or breeding or whatever. So then all of a sudden they've just got this extra stress on top of all the other things they're dealing with, like you know, plastic pollution and you know, overfishing and all the other things that are impacting their population. This is just one more, you know, insidious thing.
It's also another thing that we can't equate, so humans will just go ahead and do it and assume that it's totally sweet. Because
it's out of sight, out of mind, right? Yeah. So good news is, though, that I think from what, you know, I've read of these studies, especially the science study that they did, was that actually it's a pretty simple, not simple, it's a, there's a pretty easy way to stop this, right? And that's to start putting some regulations in place and some limits around things and look to tech to try and improve things. So they looked at the lockdown period where 60% of the world was in some form of lockdown, and they found a 20% decrease in noise pollution. And during that period, they saw marine mammals flooding back to these areas. Mm. So they were like, man, even with a 20% decrease, there was just so much more marine, there was so much more marine mammal activity or cetacean activity in the ocean in these areas that actually we don't need to completely get rid of it. We just need to kind of manage it a bit better.
Well, so that's really good news to sailing, guys. Return to large sailing vessels?
Yeah, I think there's a big drive for wind-powered ships on a few levels, like, you know, your climate change and air pollution and all those sorts of things. So I think that there's a lot of work going into wind-powered ships. I think that it's fair to say, you know, we're going to have to redesign ships anyway in the future for more extreme weather. So it's a really good time to probably be looking at how we power them in a more sustainable manner. And there's a lot of work being done around that, as well as tech like noise reducing propellers. So there's work in that space as well. So yeah, and I always say, you know, you put regulation in place, and like humans are really amazing. We're really good at inventing solutions if we need them. If we don't need them, we can't come up with solutions. It's kind of bizarre. We don't proactively come up with things. If we absolutely have to, we will. So we may need to look at, you know, putting in place some regulation and from there, you know, changing our idea of how we do things. And then the other thing is, like, even just having these standards in place and knowing the impacts of them properly means that, again, we can weigh up, you know, these economic benefits of things like oil exploration properly, because at the moment we're not counting the impact on other species. We're just not even doing it at all, whereas at least if we have acknowledged the problem, we can then say, on top of, you know, the potential for, you know, disastrous explosions at sea and blah, 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 there's also this impact that it has to all these other species that live in the ocean. So that was a very simple one today. And again, like, I just think it's so bizarre that we haven't done this work before, being we're completely surrounded by ocean. These guys are our nearest neighbours, really, and we probably should have a little bit more respect for them. And a big shout out to Dr. Victoria Warren, who, you know, went and studied it and made some headway in this space.
I can relate. Actually, I once put a SM57 inside a condom and tried to record something underwater at home in my pool. And it didn't really work very well. But
I'd say you really, really want to have some decent underwater gear for that.
Look, I gave
Those
it a hoon.
Those SM57s right. aren't cheap.
I was just giving it a hoon. I was just trying to learn.
Fair call. They were saying, in the reading I was doing, they were saying that the rain, even miles away, can reverberate through the sea. Which So I would actually love to hear some of this stuff. Like, they were sort of talking about it sounding like some sort of weird orchestra. I'm like, yeah, man, I want to hear that.
Where can we hear it?
I want to sample it.
Where can we hear it?
I don't know. I didn't do that. I mean, I might do some Googling, actually, because it is quite interesting. If it is, I'll post it to the BFM Facebook page.
Right on. Thank you very much, Rita Steele. Always a pleasure.
No worries. You guys have a good week.
Right on.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.